We're here, about to call order the board meeting for the Housing Authority of the City of Austin, the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, and the Austin Affordable Housing PFC Inc. Board. So at this time, I will ask Mr. Gerber to call the roll.
Commissioner Bailey?
Here.
Commissioner Duncan Hall?
He's here.
Commissioner Carrington?
Present.
Commissioner Apostolo?
Here.
And Chairman Ritchie?
Present. We have a quorum, so we're officially called to order at 1:14 p.m. on Thursday, August 15th, 2024. So next is the Pledge of Allegiance, and I would ask Commissioner Apostolo to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It is good to see Commissioner Bailey here at the meeting. The next is public communications, and we have Ms. Yvette Lopez
Caparotero. Ma'am, if you'd like to come forward.
Hello?
Yeah. Commissioner Duncan Hall, can you hear us?
Yeah, I need more volume, please.
Okay, we'll speak into the mic.
Yep, take a seat, and if you would, just state your name for the board, and you have 3 minutes to visit with the board. Yep. And speak really loud, because we've got somebody on
Zoom. And why don't you bring the mic closer to you?
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Yvette Lopez Carpintero, and I am here because I am a Section 8 recipient, and I would like to address some concerns that I have been having for the past 4 years. I do have a timeline of events, of patterns of behaviors that my family and I have experienced that has been addressed with many staff with the City of Austin Housing Authority, including Lisa Garcia, the Vice President, Dylan for the manager from the voucher program, Rachel Pounds as well. And I can also break down the timeline of events. Separate from that, I wanna say that I'm a licensed social worker and an LCDCI, and so I do have ethics and integrity, and so there's no reason for being to be making up any allegations, but instead I do have evidence of everything that I have experienced with my family and I, and so I am here to try to address that. Thank you.
Thank you for visiting with the board. You have 2.5 minutes. Is there any more detail you'd like to share? Or Ms. Garcia is here, and she'd be very glad to visit with you. Lisa, we're glad you came to speak to the board. And Lisa, if you don't mind taking pronounce your last name for me.
Carpintero, Carpintero.
Great. Lisa, if you don't mind visiting with Ms. Carpintero, and I think the Section 8 room is available, the committee room. Thank you so much for being with us, and Ms. Garcia would be very glad to visit with you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the public wishing to speak or address the board? And seeing that there is none, we will close, with your approval, Mr. Chairman, we'll close public comment. Lupe Garcia is here to present an update on the Citywide Advisory Board. Lupe, you want to come forward? It's been quite a morning with the Citywide Advisory Board, hasn't it?
Good morning.
Be sure to speak into the microphone so that Commissioner Duncan Hall can hear you.
You too, Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Good morning. I, as president of the Citywide Board of Santa,
Santa Rita call a meeting to order at 11:33 a.m. This minutes are from July the 9th, 2024. Veronica Castillo Perez, Citywide Vice President and President of Chalmers, read the minutes from the last Citywide Board meeting, which was held on June 11th, 2024. Steve Richards, President of Rosewood, motion to accept the minutes as read. Sandy Jones, Vice President of Gaston, placed a second motion. Motion passed. Treasury report for the Citywide Board balance was $3,800. Presentation, Michael Roth, Vice President of PAMI. Rent Cafe accepts Coronado Hills and Gaston Place to go live later in July with flyers going out now. This will streamline communication with managers, especially for workers' orders, and it will facilitate online rental payments. Austin Pathways updates. Leilani Villegas, Senior Director of Community Development. The Haka Scholarship Ceremony scheduled for July 26 at 11 a.m. at the UT Charter Elementary School with 36 scholars, 11 more than last year. The Youth Incentive Trip to the PennSec is scheduled for August 8th, where approximately 100 students who achieved the year-round A and B honor roll and perfect attendance. No citywide board and resident council meetings are scheduled in August. Abigail Biddy from Youth Educational Success and Family Self-Sufficient Manager. The back-to-school distributions are scheduled for the week of August 12th, and Bolden, in connection with another event, will have distribution on August the 6th. Murphy Rowland, Workforce Development Manager, training opportunities such as medical office professionals and accounting classes are free through the Education Opportunity Solutions. The 2-Gen grant also through the Education Opportunity is a medical office professional course, and they're graduating this week taking their certification courses. So I don't know what, it didn't have the date of the week that they were gonna graduate, so it's not on here. Catherine Grego, Digital Inclusion. We're at the Gaston to connect with residents to access their needs and preparing for the rolling out on the Rand Cafe, and we'll be going to Coronado as well. Rand Cafe is not going to be mandatory, but paying online makes it easier. You can pay through your bank account, use a debit card or a credit card. Brahma Lee with Bringing Home Health. The CVS Project Health Mobile Clinic will be at Chalmers on July 23rd from 1 to 5 p.m. to provide free resources as well as the basic health screenings. Daniel Reese, home ownership. We're currently having two families pre-qualify for Prospect Heights, and several within the process of 22 families have been referred to Habitat for Humanity, and 9 are being considered on their journey to home ownership. Property updates. Chalmers, Veronica Riggins, thank Austin Pathway staff that helped support a very nice event in June with water slide, dunking booth, water balloons, fly to keep everyone cool. North Loop, Ricardo Medrano reported that they have monthly snow cones and bingo, and they had a barbecue to celebrate June 19th. Santa Rita reported they will be having a back-to-school supply distribution. Rosewood, Steve Richard reported they had a meeting on June 27 with the people involved in relocation and opening timeline in late 2025. The meeting was adjourned. Stephen Richard, President of Rosewood, made a motion to adjourn the meeting. President of North Loop seconded the motion. Meeting adjourned at 11:27 a.m.
Thank you, Ms. Garcia. How do you, Lupe, could you share with the board how you about this morning's visit, what we did, and any key themes that you think board members would be interested in?
Yeah, the meeting was really, really good, and it was. I felt like there was a lot of things that were discussed that are our main concerns. I think with building a foundation, it can be solved. And I believe strongly that becoming one team and one community is really, really important, sir, for the purpose of being safe, safety issues, mental health issues, and trying to bring stuff back into the rounding of the foundation that I wish to see in all properties. I am 100% supportive of all 18 properties. But I think the meeting today was a really, really a good one that when we should have it more often than more, at least every 6 months.
It was great.
Thank you for that. So the board members know we brought together the presidents and vice presidents of all the properties this morning. Commissioner Apostolo joined us, as did Chairman Ritchie. And we just had a good exchange. A lot of the focus was to talk about new things happening, things that were happening at the Housing Authority. But we also talked about safety, and I think there were some really great ideas, and I think we built a good foundation for next steps. We're going to call that new initiative ICOPS. No, just kidding. In the iMom's iDad tradition, ICOPS. But a stronger approach to security. And then we also talked about Rent Cafe, which is a new technology.
And I platform. Did the Rent Cafe. I love it. It was short, it was simple, and it was easy. And I also did a maintenance request. So it worked.
And Rent Cafe is the new app that we have so that residents can pay their rent and submit work orders and bring us a little more into the new way of doing property management. So we're excited. And it's connected. It's integrated with Yardi, which is the platform we've moved to. So thanks. Thanks so much. Any questions for Lupe?
Are the residents required to use that to pay the rent, or is it one option?
It's an option, but it's a strongly encouraged option. Obviously, if residents are struggling with the technology or if they have a cognitive or other challenge, they can certainly continue to come to the office, and we look forward to seeing them there. But we think 95% of the residents should be able to use it. It's pretty straightforward, and we've already done adoption at 3 properties. Michael, we're at?
So we've completed at Port Allen Hills.
Come up.
And so we have gone live at Coronado Hills, at Gaston Place, and yesterday at Santa Rita Courts. Today they are going live at Salina, and tomorrow at Meadowbrook. And the goal is to have all of our properties live in the system by the end of September.
We just started as what, a couple months ago?
We've been planning for a while.
Planning going for a while, but the first go live was July 25th, the first properties. And so we've had about close to 20 families pay their rent online for the first time in the month of August. And we're at about 46% of the households that we've at the properties we've reached so far that have active and verified their accounts in the system, including Santa Rita, which just started yesterday.
And I will add, Commissioner Carrington, that for years we've been hearing from residents that they have wanted to have an online payment option. It's more secure. And it's instant. So this is really in response to what we've been hearing from our residents for a number of years now.
Did we look at several different options for the app?
We wanted something that would integrate with Yardi because that is our tenant system. So this is seamless.
But it's widely regarded and many housing authorities around the country have used it. So we're not a guinea, and many multifamily folks use it. We're not a guinea pig for it. It's nice established technology, as opposed to so many other things we do where we are the guinea pig. So I'm glad this one's the implementation seems to be going well. So we're excited.
Yeah, my sense is also in addition to providing it provides sort of security on our end as well. Because we don't have property managers with checks and cash. So there's less incentive to vandalize the administration buildings or the drop boxes on the properties.
Right, and they don't have to go to the check cashing place.
They don't have to go to a check cashing place to get a money order or several money orders. And you know, do that travel back and forth, and they can do this in the convenience of their home. They can do it at any hour of the night or morning, 24/7 versus during business hours or, yeah, taking a chance that something is going to happen with the payment in the Dropbox.
And there's, you said 24 hours, it brings to mind, I just know people have had to run to get to the office before 5 o'clock before the property manager leaves, so that kind of eliminates that. And although they may not have a desktop or a laptop, but if they've got a phone, they can use the app to do it.
Commissioners, with your indulgence, we have a long agenda today, and we have, we've been advised that we will lose some commissioners at a quarter of three. And so to plan out accordingly, just we've got a lot to cover. So we'd like to suggest we jump right into it. First item is the presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding the approval of the board minutes summary for the meeting held on June 20th, 2024. Apostolo moves to approve and Carrington seconds. Is there any discussion? Is there any, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
And the ayes have it. Item number two is a presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding resolution 02854, approving the contract renewal for family elder care. And Joyce Hefner and Emily, I'm sorry, I'm not pronouncing your last name correctly. Heppermel is here from Family Elder Care, and they and Leilani Limvie-Haas will give us a brief overview. But I would just say we've had a wonderful partnership with Family Elder Care, and so much of that has been embodied in Joyce Hefner, who's been getting ready to retire and step back from her duties of Family Elder Care. But we wish you well. Thank you for your service, and look forward to hearing the presentation.
Yes, Jorge, sir. Did you have something?
Tara has a question.
Commissioner Duncan Hall? Tyra, do you have a question?
I'm having trouble hearing you, Mike. Could you please talk more directly into the microphone?
Yes, ma'am. We have three people here who are going to present on the family elder care contract. Leilani?
Good afternoon, Board of Commissioners, HACA staff, and distinguished guests. My name is Leilani Limvillegas, and I serve as the Senior Director of Community Development. And today before you is resolution number 02854, which is seeking approval of contract renewal for family elder care. So I'm waiting for the slides. Okay. So since 2009, HACA has contracted the family elder care, and we did go through the RFP. During that time, HUD did designate us family elder care as a sole source provider. In 2017, we added a new service, which is the floating service coordinator, which not only services our elderly and disabled properties at North Loop, Lakeside, Gaston, and Salina, but now the floating service coordinator also provides elderly and resident services across our family properties. Let me go back. Okay, so I'm going to let Joyce do.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Yeah, it's a little emotional, my last board meeting. I'm glad I got to participate in this. I've been at the table since 2009 on working on this program with y'all, and it's really a great partnership. Service coordination, a key factor is that we are embedded in your housing communities, so we're easily accessible to the residents. They get to know and trust our staff, which is very important for relationship building. And as I was listening to the previous discussion, I would say we communicate and collaborate on changes within HACA. We worked with HACA on RAD and just being aware of what was going on and helping reinforce messaging to residents. Rent Cafe, we've been meeting with staff about that so we can help people. So those are, you know, examples of our role to be a source of information, educate residents, help them learn how systems work so they can navigate them themselves. We do coaching and we schedule groups and educational programs on the properties as well. In terms of our staff, as Leilani mentioned, we have three service coordinators that focus on North Loop, Gaston, and Lakeside, since they are the largest communities. And then we have our floating service coordinator who's been working with Salina residents as well as working with older residents at family properties, and we work with the management teams on taking those referrals. Last year, we worked with 318 residents, and we have a partnership with HACA also in a financial way. We write grants and develop contracts together so that we can support the program. So we're really pretty much a 50-50 partner in funding and supporting the program and the structure.
And just to mention some of the supplemental services, and good afternoon, I'm Emily Habermel, that residents do have access to direct financial assistance through us. And in 2023, we provided just over $12,500 in assistance to 42 residents. We are able to sell bus passes at half price to residents, and this is an average savings of $8 to $20 a month. We also have a lot of program activities, healthy aging programs. So in 2023, 109 classes across five properties, and also van trips, socialization activities, and as always, the summer fan drive. So far this summer, we have handed out 146 fans to residents through our fan drive. Thank you.
So for this contract, after negotiations with Family Elder Care, we have arrived to the proposal of $202,423 for the next 5 years, which already includes a 3% cost of living adjustment. And the reason why the strategy was so important is just as we're co-writing grants, we want to be able to predict how much the cost is going to be for this to be a sustainable program. It used to be just on a yearly basis, and we're always trying to go over the funds. But now with this five-year contract, we're able to raise and be aware of how much we need in order for this elderly property services to continue. Just like they mentioned, they exceeded their caseload requirement. It's only 50. They've exceeded it by 130 in the properties. And so with this, staff recommends that Family Elder Care be awarded this proposed contract renewal. And I'll go ahead and give it back to the Commissioner.
I have a question. So yes. The 202,423, is that per year or over the entire 5 years?
It's for 1 year. And it covers all of the elderly properties, plus a floating service coordinator. And every year subsequent to that, there's going to be a 3% cost of living adjustment automatically already adjusted for the next 5 years.
Okay. It says total cost, because the 202, when you say total, I'm thinking the entire 5 years. So I would just recommend just say 202 per year,
okay.
5 years. To make it clear, because that's what I was thinking. Hopefully, it's more than $40,000.
Yes. Okay. We'll make that correction. Thank you, Chairman.
And just to get a sense of it, Commissioner Ritchie, it'll go from 202,423 this year. Next year, it'll be 208,495, and by year five, it rises to 227,828. So a modest increase, but we do need to be clearer in the board book, and so we'll make that adjustment. But it gives predictability to Family Elder Care and predictability to us.
That is correct.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we would not lowballing folks to get a contract.
We'd never do that.
I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you.
It's been a great partnership, and one that we've that also extends to permanent supportive housing. Family Elder Care is developing more housing, and this board has put project-based vouchers with this organization. And I would just shout out again, Joyce has been a huge part of all of it, and we really are going to miss you. With your permission, Commissioners, we would...
Commissioner Carrington has a question.
Yeah, you all know that in 2009, I guess, HUD designated Family Elder Care as a sole source provider. Was that good then for the 5 years, and is that designation still...
Yes, it is, only because when we did the second RFP, they did the bid even less than 5 years, and they still won it, and they were still the sole source provider. The breadth of services that they provide is not matched by the other organizations that tried to compete with their expertise, and also the geriatric expertise and the social, I guess, work. I guess, in-depth connections that they have with the community. And so we did that already, and it has been extended to this. So before that expires, we want to make sure that the designation is actually at this time for this year in order for us to extend it for another 5 years. After the 5 years, we'll do another RFP. But as it stands, yes, it is still good with HUD.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Any more questions? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Need a motion.
No, I'm sorry. Let me, the chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2854. Motion by Commissioner Apostolo, seconded by Commissioner Carrington. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We'll go to item number three.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, if with your indulgence, can we go over to Austin Affordable Housing Corporation?
Sure.
And to Austin Affordable PFC and work our way through the development deals, and I'll ask Ron and Suzanne and Steve to come forward, and we'll work, and Sarah, come on forward, and let's work through these deals.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first item is going to be the Austin Affordable PFC, which is toward the back of your book. The meeting has been called to order. Quorum has been established. And is there any public communication? No public communication. Okay, thank you. So the first item is item number two, to approve the minutes. Actually, it's item number one, to approve the minutes of the board meeting held on June the 20th.
So move.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. So, two action items for the PFC, for the Public Finance Corporation. The first one is number two, and it's resolution 0115, and it's the issuance, delivery, and sale of multifamily housing revenue bonds, two series, 2024A, 2024B, and it's for the Heritage Point Apartments. So, Suzanne?
And just before I present this project, I wanted to introduce Steve Wolf. He is our newest member of Austin Affordable. We're now a proud department of three, and he is hired on to be our asset manager. He's been doing a phenomenal job. I've had him out at a property for 2 days walking units, and he's fit in very well. And
I'm you know, thankful to be here, and I look forward to working with everyone and continue to you know, move forward. So, thank you.
He's basically, once he'll be working under my new construction project. So once they're completed and leased up, then he'll take over, kind of managing them as they operate, just overseeing reporting and the management companies to make sure that everything's okay, that capital projects are going as he works with us. Yes. Board, Mr. Gerber and staff, I'm excited to present to you Heritage Point. This is a partnership with April Housing. It is our third acquisition rehab that we are doing with them. You have seen this property twice for resolutions so that we could do the bond application and the tax credit application at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. This property is located at 1950 Weberville Road, which is basically 183 and MLK Jr. area. And it is a senior property. It has 240 units, 1 and 2 bedroom units. The affordability is phenomenal. We have 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%, and 80% area median family income, which is very rare on the senior side especially. This property was built in 2004. The original investor was Sun America. So April Housing has approached us to partner with them and to do some pretty massive rehab on the units. We're going to take the community building all the way down to the studs and rehab it. The units will do new floors, new countertops, windows, roofs, HVAC systems, water heaters, energy-efficient appliances, and the exterior, we're doing much-needed painting, additional lighting for safety reasons, irrigation system for landscaping. So it's going to be around somewhere, give or take, about $50,000 a unit to do this. We are estimating that it'll take about 7 to 10 days per unit. So we're going to try to relocate within the property as we can, and then if we can't, then we'll use hotel units. And we are contracting with a consulting company, Revival Development Services, that is coordinating and overseeing all of these relocations. And they've done, we've had several meetings already with the tenants. They're real excited about all of the new things that are to come, and especially the energy efficiency that they'll have for this property. PNC is going to be both the debt and equity provider, and we'll have a construction loan around not to exceed $25 million with an equity bridge loan that will be $22 million, but that'll be paid off once we get to the point of going into the perm loan and get out the last equity installments. And I would be happy to answer any questions if you have any. Commissioner Carrington?
Have you all done an audit of the units from an occupancy, from an income standpoint?
April Housing has.
Obviously, if they've got 20, you know, it's an old tax credit deal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So 30, 40, 50, 60, and 80. Mm-hmm. Percent.
Yes.
Are there any market rate units in this, or was it all
it's
affordable?
Just 80
and below.
80%. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a good point. It was an old tax credit property. The thing that is so appetizing to us on this deal is that we're going to be able to go in and extend that affordability for another 30 years, where if we didn't, it could possibly go to market rate, and then all of the, you know, those people would be displaced.
What would that occur?
Excuse me?
What would cause that to happen?
If we weren't going back in to add another restriction onto the income. So when we do a new round of tax credits and bonds, that what goes with that is a restriction on the income, and it's a 30-year regulatory agreement.
So the initial regulatory agreement is expiring, and mm-hmm. so that gives the option to either a new buyer or the existing owner to let that expire, and then all the affordability then goes away. So they have options to gut it and build new market rent, or rehab it and make market rent, do what they want. So prior to its expiration, with us stepping in, we're going to basically put a new land use restriction on that will extend that affordability for another 30 years, so it can be converted to market rent. So those residents will stay in place and more future to come. That's the difference, because they expire after so many years, after the original 15-year credit period.
Any other questions or concerns? If not, do I hear a motion then to
so
approve?
Moved.
Thank you, Carl. Mary, moved and second. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Congratulations, you all.
Thank you very much.
I did notice one thing. Suzanne, you had said there was a scope of work. Please see attached scope of work for more details.
Sorry.
Was there a scope of work?
No.
I couldn't find it anywhere.
I attached, it's basically the same scope of work for all three properties, and I had attached them to the last board book. I apologize.
That's fine. Thank you.
Susan, I did have one question for you, and it was just more from my own edification. What's the difference between Series A and Series B?
I'm going to let Sarah take that one.
Generally, I think in this case, the Series B is taxable. So you get a reservation of bonds and you have it. And generally, the first series is just the tax exempt. And here, I think this second series is taxable because you don't have any more tax exempt private activity bond cap.
Okay.
Any more questions? Thank you all. So the next item is item number 3, and it's resolution 00116 to authorize the issuance, sale, and delivery of multifamily housing revenue bonds for the Kingswood Apartments, authorizing execution, delivery of documents, carry out financing, and other actions related to this transaction. Suzanne?
Kingswood is a partnership with LDG. It's our 17th partnership. This property in particular, we have been working on for 6 years. wish 6 months. Just the bond timing, getting reservations for it has just not worked for us. But we're really excited. We do have a bond reservation that doesn't expire. It's a three-year bond reservation. But we are in a position to where we think that we can get this closed. This property is located off the southeast corner of FM 812 and Berkland Farms Road. It's real close to CODA. It is a 328 family units with 1, 2, 3, and 4 bedrooms, and they're all affordable at 60% area median income. This is in the Del Valle Independent School District. Popham Elementary, I just drove it yesterday. It's like 10 minutes from the property. And then Del Valle Middle School and Del Valle High School will serve this property as well. LDG has implemented now that they will put a full-time service coordinator that is employed by LDG on all of their new construction projects. So we will have one out at this one. I'm really excited about that because I'm looking that we're going to have a lot of children at this property. And it'll be great to have a full-time person out there, as well as they have started doing summer programs for the kids. They did one at Norwood this year, and they're looking to expand that. So once this property is built and up and running, we'll definitely be looking at doing one out there. We're looking at marketing to the major employers out in that area: Del Valle ISD, Austin ISD, Tesla, the airport, and CODA. And as far as financing goes, Merchants Capital is going to do both the debt and the equity. They've been this is the first time I've worked with them on both sides, and they've really been good to work with. We're looking at a $50 million tax-exempt bond issuance with a $5 million taxable tail. LDG and AHC will be reinvesting our fees that we make on this deal until we're through construction, and then we'll get repaid on those. And then there will be a not to exceed $35 million equity bridge. I think that's going to come in a lot lower, though, and that'll be paid once we're fully constructed and have occupied everything. And it looks like on this one, we're receiving 84 cents for the tax credits, and that's about the going rate right now. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Suzanne or staff?
I have a question. Would you explain quickly this financing? What's the bridge loan?
The bridge loan is because when you receive tax credits, you don't get the full amount at closing. There are certain stages, certain humps that you have to pass in order to get them. Like sometimes it's you have to achieve 50% construction, then full construction, and then the IRS form 8609s. So it's just to bridge until we can get all of the equity funds in, and then usually the last installment comes when you convert to perm financing, and we're able to pay that bridge loan off at that time.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Suzanne or Stan? This is our 19th, if I remember correctly.
17th.
17th.
19th for Belvron.
Well, we get good partners and we hang on to them. Okay, so no more questions. Do I hear a motion to approve resolution 00116? Carl moves. Mary seconds. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. That is the last item for Austin Affordable PFC. So we will close this meeting at 1:55.
I move we adjourn.
Got a move? Got a second? Any objections? Okay. Meeting is closed. Motion passes. Now we'll go back to the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. First item is quorum has been established. Public communication, Nydia? No public communication. So the first consent item is to approve the minutes of the June 20th, 2024 meeting. Mary moves.
Second.
Carl seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. First action item is number two. And it is for Austin Affordable Housing Corporation to execute all the documents necessary to facilitate the acquisition of the bridge at South Park Landing. And this, of course, involves four different actions that staff will be taking to facilitate this transaction. So is that?
That will be me.
Is that Mr. Colwall?
Thank you.
Okay. Ron?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Board, Mr. Gerber, staff, guests. Happy to present our 19th possible transaction here with Belvron Corporation. As stated previously, this is a property called, it's currently called the South Park Meadows, which will be changing to South Park Landing. It's 308 units. It was built in 2007. One of the unique things about this is if you look on the two other corners, you can see on the top left is the James at South First, which we own. And then if you go down to the bottom left, we own the South Park Meadows. So we're basically attacking a full four corners, right now three, in the same area to expand our footprint and to get more access and control of the area that we've already feel really, really strong about. It's a great location located on Slaughter Lane, 420 Slaughter Lane. As I stated, this is our 19th development with Belvron. It sits on 16.3 acres. It's obviously the amenities are very similar to all the other ones, which is you know big swimming pools and cabanas and clubhouses and conference rooms and kitchens and things like that, as you've seen across many of the properties that we buy. This property does feed in Austin school districts. It'll be Williams Elementary, Betacek Middle School, and Crockett High School. I think probably one of the most important things that attracted us to this deal was the unit mix, and we're really happy to see that of the 308 units, 114 of those are one bedrooms that expand to a square footage size of 840 square feet, very large. We have 36 two-bedroom one baths at 918 square feet, 116 two-bedroom, two-baths that expand up to 1,133 square feet, and 42 three-bedroom, two-baths for 1,362 square feet. And what was attractive about this is, like, for instance, the James does not have those size of units, and it gives us the opportunity to help families who have an additional child, maybe need a bigger place, need to grow, are growing, that they don't have to relocate and move too far away, and they can, we can offer a variety of unit mixes now in that area. We're extremely excited to get this one. It was very competitive. There were 35 offers that bid on this project, and we were successful in our interviews, and were awarded the project. The purchase price on this is $71 million, and there'll be a note with we're using a Fannie. This is a Fannie Mae, correct, on South Park, right? Not to exceed $56,800,000. And Bellwether's doing that for us. Our friends at Bellwether is doing the financing. Let's see, what else can I tell you? AMP will manage it. It will be called the Bridge at South Park Landing. I do wanted to share with you, as we are still in the process of our lease audit, we're very far along, but we've been able to completely verify 204 of the 307 units by incomes. And of those, 122 of the 204 are affordable. It's at 40%. We're very confident that the remaining 100 units that are being audited now will well fall within an over a 50% of the units at an affordable rate. We have 33 units at 30% of AMI. We have 16 units at 40% AMI, 26 units at 50% AMI, 23 at 60, and 24 units at 80% AMI. So we've got a very, very strong mix of affordability there, and which is also very attractive, which we feel really good about, and we can plan on keeping those units in place as long as we can, as long as the residents are there and they're happy. So we look forward to this project. We'll be closing in early September, should we get this approved today, and I'll be happy to answer any questions if you'd like.
Any questions for Ron? Chuck? Mm-hmm. Chuck?
All of these properties, what you said, you had 19 and
19 Suzanne with Bellwether.
17, or y'all, however you dividing it up. What kind of percentage? No, that's not the right question. I was thinking about it as I was coming down Southwest Parkway, and we have that property over there. Do we keep records to show how many city policemen are taking advantage of this, or school teachers, or service? I mean, the things that we're initially, that's what we were aiming at.
Yes, to answer your question, yes. And I can tell you right now, just on this project, so every year we complete it, we do a full audit of every property. 2023's audit was completed in March. It's sitting on my desk right now of all 48 of our acquisitions. And it's broken down by percentage of affordability in each property, and then it's also broken down by employment category. Mm-hmm. So I'd be happy to share that with the board and put that all together, which you can see. But for instance, in this particular property, of the verified tenants that we have 27 of them in technology. We have 7 trade workers or machine operators. We have services or sales, we have 21. We have 7 healthcare employees. We have 17 that are in the food service business, 14 educators, so those are teachers. We have 4 clericals. We have 11 state and government employees. We have 9 Social Security veterans that are veterans in the property, and we have 1 law enforcement currently at this time in the property. So we do that when we do our lease office, and that's reaffirmed and recertified every year, and it's available at any time for anyone to see.
And when we market these things, do we go to the police department and put up a brochure and say,
tired of driving I-35 to work every day, come see us?
We do. We go to the schools. We go to the grocery stores. We put flyers out in restaurants. We've basically stuck to the old school of you know, now everybody looks at the internet or looks on a realtors.com. We've done a lot of old school marketing where we've actually physically gone out and stood in parking lots with water bottles and passed out things like that. So yes, but to answer your question, yes. And again, I could easily provide you with all the demographic data for next board meeting if you'd like.
Now, would you say that accurately reflects the population of our other properties?
Yes, very much so.
I don't know. As expensive as Austin has gotten, I just thought, well, hell, who wouldn't need some affordable housing in Austin?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there was an article in the newspaper very quickly just this past week about a school teacher who made $2,000 more than being eligible to be in a 60% unit, and he's sleeping in his car. I question a little bit of that. Maybe that's, I don't understand, but I mean, it's like why that, and he has some bad credit or because he had some trouble with rent before, but there's nothing in between, and that speaks to the need for not only deep affordability, but also all levels of affordability for somebody like a gentleman like this who is just over-incomed but can't afford a market rent unit because the gaps are so big. Now it's better now because of the market conditions. Those have softened, but it's only a matter of time before it flips. But, you know, those types of stories are what really get me. And says, why is he not in one of our properties? If, you know, and so I asked our staff to reach, call the newspaper and find out more about him. So I want to, you know, if we can help somebody like that, that's what we're doing. So, but anyway, yes, sir, but we do track all our demographics for our employees.
Any more questions? I have one. So we have 42 three-bedroom units. And I think at least one of these properties we're looking at today has some four-bedroom units, I think. So is Lisa's shop able to find families that need these larger units?
Yes, that's a great question, and that's one of the reasons why I started pushing my new construction developer partners to do the bigger bedrooms, because some of the voucher holders couldn't find any 3- and 4-bedroom units, and they are the first ones to be rented. They're hardly ever vacant.
In our lease audit here, we have 0 voucher holders at this property. So it'll be the first place we'll be going down to
Nancy
and hitting her up to make sure that this property is on the list, because there's going to be some great opportunities.
More questions, comments? Okay, if not, do I hear a motion to approve resolution 00250 related to the bridge at South Park Landing? Carl moves, Mary seconds. Any more discussion?
No, I think Ms. Tyra has a question.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. Tyra, do you have a question?
No, I was just going to make a comment, and I had discussed this earlier with Michael. As you know, I'm not in favor ordinarily of only 10% being at 60% medium. But as I said, I realize that there are other properties that will be balancing this as we move along, and I'm hoping that there will be an increase in the number that is at 60% now. So that's just a common observation.
Okay. Commissioner Duncan Hall, real quickly, I don't know if you heard that the existing property right now, we have 33 residents there that are at 30% median income that are already residing there. We have 16 at 40%, 50, we have 26 at 50%, and we have 23 residents at 60%. And those units will all stay in place.
Well,
that's about how many?
Ron, can I ask that that information you just provided be included in the minutes?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. As we did last time, we did. We'll attach this to the minutes. I'll make sure Nitty and I coordinate that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And my question is, I mean, Ron, that's not an audit of the whole property. That was only a portion. What's the number?
It's 207 total units. 122 of those units are at 80% and below AMI, which is 40% of the units that we audited. So we're still verifying income on another 100 units, and we feel we'll be well above that 50% AMI.
Okay.
Well, I've asked this question before, and I think more alluded to it. Does Section 8
folks
get into the affordable housing?
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, they're assessed, pre-screened here, and then every Section 8 resident is welcomed and is given based on their rent is based on a certain amount of their income, and that's what their units are set at.
Questions? Okay, if not, do I hear a motion to approve resolution 00250 to take the actions necessary to consummate this transaction? We've already voted? Did we discuss it?
Yes. I had a question after.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. Have we voted?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All righty, moving right along to item number 3. Are you sure we voted on that? Okay. This is considering the tax credit application. Actually, the tax credit application has already been placed. This development has an allocation of VETA. Did I pronounce that right? Oveta Rosedale, and it's a partnership with Megan Lash of O-SDA Industries, Inc. She's a developer that we've done some work with before, and what this resolution would do is allow us to enter, Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, to enter into the existing partnership for this development. Suzanne?
Thank you, Chairman Carrington. Yes, this Oveta Rosedale is a 9% award. This just happened in July. This is the first time you're seeing this because we wanted to wait and see if she actually got the award. She's asked us to come in and partner with her as the general partner. So what this resolution would allow us to do is go back and amend the TDHCA application to add us as the general partner. This property is located at 4202 to 4210 Medical Parkway, which is basically 42nd Street between Shoal Creek and Lamar. There are just two businesses there that are terminating their lease. It's a hair salon and a screen printing company. So that's how she's getting those multiple lots. This is a really high opportunity area, and we're so excited to be able to offer this to our Section 8 voucher holders to apply. And it will be 70 family units. It'll be a mix of efficiencies, 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms. And the affordability will offset Ron's. It'll be 30%, 50%, 60%, and 80%. And 35 of those, which is 50% of the property, are 50% or below. An interesting detail, Megan runs a, female-owned company. Most of her employees are females. She always has a story behind the name of her properties. Rosedale is one of the streets around the area. Oveta is named after Oveta Culp Hobby. who was the first U.S. Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare under the Eisenhower administration. She was also, she was also married to William Hobby, who was a governor of Texas and the namesake of Houston Hobby Airport. She was born in Killeen and went to the University of Texas Law School. So that's kind of the little background. I thought it was kind of neat. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Suzanne, you, while you were looking down reading, you didn't see the smiles on Chuck and
so sorry.
And Edwina's in my face because you're reading it made us feel very old.
Well, that wasn't the intention.
Well, it's just because when you were reading it, you're reading like this is somebody you're learning about. This is someone who we knew.
I was reading it so I wouldn't mess up the title.
So, yes. So I used to work for her son, Governor Hobby, when he was lieutenant governor. And Chuck has had a lot of interaction with Governor Hobby.
Oh, my gosh.
I just looked over and you kept on.
And, you know, again, you're too young to probably realize this, but his family, that family owned the Houston Post and KTR TV Channel 2 in Houston, and so they were in the journalism business, so... You didn't know it, but you were making us kind of feel old because we were looking at you like you were a first grader reading about somebody who your parents had known.
Any more discussion or any questions for staff? One question, are there any market rate units or are they all 80% and below?
80% and below.
Okay. Do I hear a motion then to approve resolution 00253? Mary moves, Carl seconds. Any discussion, any additional discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you, the motion passes. Item number four is to consider and approve resolution 00254. And so this is for Heritage Point Apartments. And Suzanne?
I presented this for the PFC board. If y'all have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
So this allows us to do all the documentation necessary to culminate the transaction.
And just one point, if y'all are to approve all of these resolutions for Heritage Point, we will move to close it. So you won't see it again.
Is that what this Chuck? Piece of paper is, makes me liable for everything?
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Chuck moves. Mary seconds. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item number five is resolution 00255, and this is for the documentation, the transactions, the documentation that needs to happen to approve the Kingswood Apartments. Suzanne?
This one again, we went over for the PFC board meeting, and we're really hoping to get this closed. if y'all approve these resolutions, we will move to close.
This is the 4-year, 5-year transaction.
6-year.
Right? 6-year?
Yes.
Woo. Okay.
This is the 6-year.
Okay. No more discussion? Do I hear a motion? Carl? Motions. Mary seconds. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item number six is the resolution 00256, and this is for Urban East Apartments Phase 1. Suzanne?
This is a partnership between AHC River City Capital and LDG Development. The board approved this property or continuing to approved it so that we could close on it in November of 2020, and we closed on it and built it. It's located at 6400 East Riverside Drive. It's very just right across the street from one of Ron's acquisition properties, the Henley. It has studios, 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms, 381 family units. It's a workforce housing, so it's 50% of the units at 80% and below, and then the rest over 80%. We were 99% complete. We were leasing up, and we had a boiler system fail in one of the buildings, and it flooded 100 units. Luckily, they were all vacant, so insurance has covered it all. However, we are to the point where our construction loan is maturing. We used a local bank, Texas Capital Bank, and when local banks loan, they loan very short term, and they are already projecting future uses on that money. So when we approached them to try to get an extension, they weren't really in favor of it, and they wanted us to put another 25% equity in. We're already at 50% equity. So we went ahead and decided to go out for a request for proposals for a bridge loan, and we've got about 35 responses, and the best one was Goldman Sachs. This one, they had very favorable terms. They're giving us a 3-year loan, which we know that we won't need that full amount of time, but it will give us time to rebuild those 100 units and get them leased. The good part about what's happening is our equity provider went ahead and fronted the money so that we could keep our construction crews on site, and there was no stoppage in work. So they've been continuing to work. The fire department has agreed to, as we finish each floor in that building, they're going to allow us to go ahead and start renting them out. So we'll do floor by floor. And so that means that we'll probably have everything complete and be 100% done with the project in March of 2025. And then once we lease it up completely, we'll be able to go to a lender to get permanent financing, which we will need to bring it back to y'all for that. We are looking to see if Bellwether would do the permanent financing. But today you would be approving us just to substitute out Texas Capital Bank and substitute in Goldman Sachs for the bridge loan.
Questions for staff? On the lease up, are they going 3-2-1 or 1-2-3?
It's top to bottom. Well, we've got the first floor complete because that had the gym and everything, and then we're going to start at the top and go down.
But the first floor is ready to be occupied?
They're already starting to lease it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And it's kind of rare for the fire department to be so amenable to us.
We don't have certificates of occupancy, do we?
No. We'll have TCOs.
Temporary.
Sorry. No, we'll have and temporary. Then in the around March of 2025, the end, we should be able to get complete
permanent COs.
COs.
Is it unusual for us to understand the
fact
situation here? Is it unusual for us to require the bank to do
No, the way the construction projects are done, they're done in phases. And so everything is operationable, I don't know the word for that, for any section that they release to start leasing up. So it's always planned that way when the architect is drawing up the plans.
This has been, 4 years?
Yeah, I think we started construction at the beginning of 2021, and we were already in lease-up when this, and just about, I think we're, they were just doing the finishing touches of this one building and then the landscaping, and that's when the failure happened. No, it was, those were vacant.
Any more questions?
And to clarify, insurance is covering everything.
Yes, they are. They'll cover the loss of the property and the loss of the rents as well.
They'll cover loss of rents even though the units weren't leased?
Mm-hmm. We're negotiating with them. Because it would have been ready for lease up. We were already marketing those units, and we had applications on some of them.
The only name of that. Even though they weren't leased.
Right.
The insurance company is willing to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I'm completed completely, right?
Yeah.
And ready to be occupied.
Yeah.
Okay. We like this insurance company, right?
Well, and they're all, this is the quickest. They're, I think the, it's like a little over $4 million, and they're going to release $3 million next month to us. That's the quickest we've ever had a claim funded.
Okay.
I think Commissioner Duncan Hall might have some static on her line. Yep. Can you mute her?
It's the social science with some standards here.
Okay, if there are no more questions for staff, then I'll take a motion to approve resolution 00256 to take the actions necessary for the consummation of the transaction for Urban East Apartments Phase 1. Mary moves, Chuck seconds.
Jamie has a question.
Oh, thank you. Tara, a question?
No, I just didn't know whether you got my I vote.
She voted yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Are you still asking me a question?
No. Yes, we have your I vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Did we vote?
We have not voted.
I think I'm already on vacation, folks. I'm already gone.
So the vote is 4-0 because
that was the last item for Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. So with that, we will close the AAHC meeting at 2:26. I need a motion. Motion to close. So Mary, you moving? Chuck, seconds. Any discussion? Anybody want to keep it open for a while? Okay.
Aye. So
we will close the AAHC meeting. And
again, that's 4-0 with Richie off the dice.
At 2:27, I think I already said that. Thank you, Ron and Suzanne. We've been missing not having you all in front of us and doing presentations. So.
Thank you.
We're glad to see you.
We appreciate your patience. I know this was a big one.
In your area. So
we appreciate your support.
Good job, y'all. Good
Commissioners,
job.
We'll return to the Housing Authority of City of Austin agenda. With your indulgence, we will let's do the property deals real quick that you just voted on. So we'll start at item number 7, which is presentation.
I cannot hear.
We'll start at item number 7 on the HACA agenda, which is presentation, discussion, and possible action on resolution 2849, which is ratifying at the HACA level all the decisions you just made for Bridge at South Park Landing. Is there a motion to approve? Bailey moves. Apostola seconds. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 And the motion is approved by a vote of 4-0. Item number 8 is presentation, discussion, and possible action on resolution 2858 of the board approving. This is approving Heritage Point Apartments. Again, this is ratifying everything you've just done on the other agendas. Is there a motion to approve? Apostola moves to approve. Bailey seconds. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye. All opposed, and again, that one is 4-0 as well. Item number 9 is resolution number 2859, approving Kingswood Apartments and ratifying all of the actions and other things necessary that you just approved on the other agendas and other actions that are needed. Is there a motion to approve? Commissioner Carrington moves to approve. Commissioner Bailey seconds. Is there any further discussion? And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. And it passes by a vote of 4-0. Again, Richie not on the dais. Item number 10 is resolution number 2860 by the Board of the Housing Authority of the City of Austin to take actions regarding Urban East Apartments. Again, you heard the discussion about that on the other agenda, and you're ratifying it at the HACA level. Is there a motion to approve? Commissioner Carrington moves to approve. Commissioner Apostolos seconds. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye. All opposed.
Aye.
The motion carries 4-0. Again, Richie. Commissioner Bailey is presiding. Oh, hell. Commissioner Carrington was chairing.
Sarah, bond counsel can go to work.
I was going to correct something I said earlier. For Chairman Richie, sometimes you do two series because one of them you're going to retire at the permanent loan conversion and the other ones are long term. That's why the bond series have A and B.
Okay.
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, it worked out. Okay. So with Commissioner Bailey chairing, we're going to go to item number. We're going to actually go to item number 6, which is amending the HACA investment policy. I'm going to ask Barbara to come forward, and why don't you present on the, let's do finance now. So we'll knock that out real quick before we lose commissioners. But we have to do it quick. So, commissioners, Barbara is going to provide to you before we go to, while we're talking about item number 6, she's going to give you a quick overview of our fiscal year 2025 budget. So, we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then it'll roll into the investment policy. So, you'll get a little overview of where we're headed, along with some decisions, the decision we're asking you to make regarding the investment policy. Okay. Ms. Chen.
Okay. Good afternoon, both staff. My name is Barbara Chen. I'm here to present the fiscal year 24-25, our actual compared to the budget, the operating activities. All right. Including in the board package, we have been provided two sets of the financial report. One is for our fiscal, and all of them, both of them are unaudited now, financial report. The one is for our fiscal year end, March 31st, and another one is our PBI properties, which their fiscal year is as current year, which end on December 31st. I put a summary on the following pages that I grouped them differently. One is for our, the red PBI prop, for the HACA's property, which ends as March, fiscal year ends as March 31st. So here we are presenting this one is for those, including our AHCL component unit, which is our subsidiaries, and all the COCC and all the departments. As you can see that for the first 3 months, operation from April 1st through June 30th, that we produce a net income of $6.24 million. If you look at the elevate button, that's our net income for the 3 months. That is favor of our budget by $2.07 million. The $2.7 million due to the higher revenue from our AHCs, their developer fee, cash distribution, all those fees that we earned from our AHC properties. And also, it's another reason is our, we have a lower operating expenses but, by $1.4 million. I just want to point that out that I just know for the first 3 months, some of the invoice, some of the reason of the $1.4 million favor of the operating expenses because of timing, because we do have some invoice we do not receive and paid by the end of June. But that's, we are going to catch up as we go. And this is the summary of our March 31st fiscal year end. That's our AHC subsidiary and the COCC and SHCC, Austin Pathway, all the operation all together. We had a $6.24 million in surplus net income. That including that we also transferred $270,000 to help the PBIA red property for the 3 months only from, because the fiscal year, this is April through June. Okay, so the next one is a kind of detail by the department, the major departments. So as you can see, the AHC was their revenue and their income. So they have a result of over $5.6 million. I need to look at. Okay, as you can see, the $5.6 million from the AHC's operation, and the SHCC does produce over $3.6 million. Yeah, $3.89 million. That's after we transferred $270,200 to PBIA Red property to help them with their operation. And the assistant housing this 3 months does produce about $344,145. Some of them are from the unutilized, means that some of them are from the result from the HUB payment we receive more than our HUB expenses. And also some of them have some deferred expenses not be included, but pretty much. And the Austin Pathway, as you can see that we have a deficit of $479,756. We will settle the deficit, transfer funds from the SHCC or AHC to cover the deficit.
And just to be clear, those are all of our service programs.
Yes.
So very appropriate to be transferring money from. That's the intent. We make revenue in SHCC and AHC. So that's where you see it visibly in our books.
Okay. And the next one is the central office. That central office including all the executive office, finance department, HR, even with LIH, COCC, with the procurement, MUD, all the programs all together. That we support to provide service to all the other departments. Everything we have about $2.1 million deficit. It's a little bit higher than last year because last year we did have a upstairs income that which we lost the third floor. Okay, so but overall agency wise, we still for 3 months we still have a $6.2 million in surplus. That's for our March 31st year-end entities, subsidiaries, departments. The next one is our PBIA red properties. As you can see, we are also pretty much in line with the budget, and we have before the debt service and the transfer, actually the operation has generated $710,064. And which that's the money we use to pay for the debt service and to pay for capital expenses, because of the capital expenses not including in the operating expenses in our income statement. So we had to try and meet the land debt ratio requirement. So we had to transfer overall for the 6 months of operation because they have different fiscal year end. So totally we transferred $390,200, which is $120,000 higher than the previous report because this is a calendar 6 months. The other one only show you 3 months from April to June. So they still have overall with the transfer and the payoff of the debt service, the principal payment, they still have $616,000 kind of in surplus, but it kind of, we use this money to cover all the capital expenses. For the PBIA property, we pretty much were about one third, 30% to 50% of the capital expenses are covered by the R4R, not covered by for R4R. That's the money we have used to cover those expenses. Pretty much that's for the program, and like I say, the report is report as two separate set of book the report for because of different fiscal year end.
So just note two quick things. One, this slide is particularly important because, as you know, we will approve the PAMI property budgets
in October.
So mm-hmm. It's coming soon. And you will note that we continue to transfer money to meet the cover the costs of operating those properties. They're expensive, and that's because HUD has provided higher rents to later RAD adopters. We were an early RAD adopter, and we have joined other early RAD adopters in petitioning HUD to be equitable and to give us an increase because we're seeing big impacts. So we're hoping that issue will be addressed, early in the fall. But for right now, budgets are tight, and we're going to continue until HUD makes that fix to need to continue to subsidize. So not a huge deal, but something that's a worrying trend if it doesn't get addressed. We're hoping it'll be addressed over the next few months. With that said, look forward to the budgets coming forward from Michael Roth and his team in October. Yes, Commissioner.
So we're obviously in the construction business or construction phase for this building. Mm-hmm. So where does that show up?
We have not really incurred expenses for this the renovation for this building yet. So
we haven't incurred anything.
Not yet.
But when it does, it'll come out our surplus. A reserve fund.
Yeah, it's going to be using our reserve, and if we have a current year reserve enough to cover U.S., we'll use current year. We always use the current year net income to cover whatever the expenses. But here, still don't have it. We have not incurred any.
And it's going to be a multi-year phased approach to renovating the building. So phase one, which you'll see as of today's board agenda, you'll see the project manager coming on board. So that will be sort of the first expense that you'll see. But in terms of the construction, we're going to be securing a general contractor next. And of course, we will be coming back to the board for approval on that project aspect of it.
When do we expect work will begin?
Oh, gosh. Jimmy, what would you say? It may be November, December?
Might be about November. Depends on the plan readiness and the permitting process.
Right.
Before Commissioner Carrington steps out, do you want to throw up the couple of slides real quick? Did we bring the slides to show?
Yes. Do we have that?
And again, the renovation.
No other question for the financial report, right?
Any other questions on the finances? Okay, we still have the investment item, but we'll come back to that. But before we lose Commissioner Carrington, so the building renovation is an under active consideration. And Sylvia, you want to walk real quickly through the three
sure.
slides?
Yes. So, Commissioners, you'll see on the board here, there's a few renderings that have been developed. Oh, got it. Yes. I'm sure Commissioner Duncan Hall would appreciate seeing them as well.
So we are going to be renovating and repurposing the old cafeteria, which is here on the first floor, and that will be created into an event space, so an all-hands event space, because right now we actually don't have a space that can accommodate the entire organization if we wanted to have an all-hands meeting. So this space will be repurposed into such a meeting space. But what's great is it will also have some partitions. So if we have smaller meetings that we or smaller events that we want to hold, it will accommodate that. So this kind of gives you a little bit of a an idea of what that space will look like. Next slide.
Will we rent that out?
We can if we want to. I think that's really up to us. We imagine, you know, offering it up to partners as well if they'd like to hold certain events. But yeah, it's going to be a beautiful space with this break room right adjacent to it. So it can actually serve as some spillover space as well. So it will be a large break room for staff to enjoy. You can see on the right-hand side, there's going to be some nooks in there, some little banquettes for seating, as well as around the islands. It will have some warming ovens. It won't be a commercial kitchen, per se, but it will allow for some catering to come in, and it'll have some ovens and some microwaves for use of for staff and also for any partners that would like to use the space. Next slide. So this gives you an idea of upstairs. This is viewing the SHCC office space. To the left will be some phone rooms for more privacy, because we will have more cubicle spaces and workstations. So if someone needs to have a private conversation, they can go into a phone room. And on the right-hand side, you see more banquette seating, kind of more like a cafe type of Starbucks feel for staff to meet with colleagues. And there's going to be more LVT, so I think it'll be a lot cleaner, a lot easier to maintain. Now, the all blue, there's newer versions to that. We're not going to oversaturate with blue. I think it'll be more of an accent on the wall space. Next slide. And this gives you an idea of what the entryway for Southwest Housing is going to look like. More modernized lighting, less carpeting, except for sort of that accent seating area. There will be banquettes. And you can kind of see in the distance there, there's going to be some conference rooms, and that will have more lighting in there and allow for more natural light to come in. Is there another slide from there, Keith? Yep. Great. So this shows where we're really trying to capitalize on natural light for more of the line staff. They will have their workstations closer to the outer perimeter to allow for more of that natural light to come in. And then we'll have the interior on the left-hand side. That's where more of the offices will be for managers and supervisors and directors. The flooring, as you can see, we're bringing in more hard floor surfaces, again, to help with maintaining more of the clean spaces. We're really trying to introduce lighter wood tones to help with just the overall natural, airy feel of the space. We're going to modernize the lighting as well, as you can see there, more LED lighting to help with you know, the workspace, you know, just being able to see better. And towards the back, you see sort of like a little accent wall. Is there any more, Keith? This is also on the second floor for SHCC and Austin Affordable and Austin Pathways. This, again, will be another coffee room and coffee break room space and work room there on the left-hand side. Again, we're trying to introduce more of a neighborhoods concept,
where people aren't working in silos, but people can kind of mingle more and collaborate more and just kind of sit down and have more of those informal types of conversations. Was that the last one, Keith?
That's I would note it. That a new boardroom is also part of this.
We would
propose to move this boardroom over to a fixed boardroom, a fixed dais, and but still usable during the when it's not it being used by the board, over where the other conference rooms are. So that's part of this initial take. So
we will have more comfortable seating.
Yeah.
I think also we'll have more integrated AV. So we won't have all of this sort of feedback that sometimes we encounter. So we're really excited about that. I know Jorge and Keith are very excited about that prospect.
So while we still have Commissioner Carrington, to make all that happen, we need a good project manager. And we've gone out for bid for a project manager who will cost $114,000 for the first phase. And we would ask for your approval of project management services for that first phase. This is item number four, resolution 2856. And Commissioner Bailey moves, and Commissioner Carrington, Mr. Apostola seconds. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, so how many phases do you envision?
Three phases.
Okay, three phases. So, and possibly each phase will cost a little bit more?
We're thinking probably phase one might be the most expensive because of the event space that we're creating. But of course, Jimmy, please chime in if I'm off the mark there.
Well, there's a couple of additional break rooms, large break rooms too. So there's going to be more cost, I think, in phase one.
There's also probably big systems, like probably addressing sprinkler systems and plumbing and potentially electrical. And
HVAC.
Just to be clear, we're talking HVAC. So we're talking probably $4-6 million, somewhere in that range. That $114,000 mm-hmm. will be the project manager for that broader scope, that large body of work.
I think it's fairly accurate, but we're still in a feasibility study session right now.
Yep.
And what's the time frame? We have all this completed?
I don't know if we have that yet. We haven't even designed out the other floors and the other spaces for phase two and three, so that's a little loose right now. Phase one is where we're concentrated right now, mm-hmm. and it's as quickly as possible. We're really shooting for late spring, early summer of next year.
Okay. For phase one?
For
just,
phase
just
one,
to be
that's
clear,
right.
That's it's going to be probably a multi-year, so it's going to be about late spring for phase one to be completed.
It's probably a 2 or 3 year project as we kind of work through different parts of the building.
Right.
So I guess that's what I'm kind of getting to is, so once you make the investment in there, then you got a, you know, sort of an amortization schedule, depreciation schedule. So correct me if I'm wrong, but then this essentially means we're going to be here for a while. If we're putting this type of money into it, we're going to be here for a while.
Correct.
That's the plan.
Yes.
We may seek to do something different with the third floor to have a paying partner upstairs like we had with the city for so many years. We're also looking, Ron and I are looking at how do we better utilize parts of this site. But until we get a better handle on what's happening with I-35, we can't propose building something over in that big parking lot over there. But there's more that we can do at this site. So this is the work internal to this building. But Ron and I are focused also on other aspects of this campus to see how we can get more out of it, potentially building affordable housing on the site or, you know, having other partners nearby.
And then given that we're looking to make this type of investment, I imagine you're looking at trying to bring everybody back to work as opposed to working remotely.
That's right.
That's correct. And that's already in place. So we're phasing that in, and by January, all of the organization will be back from any fully remote type of work schedules.
Okay. That's all the questions I have.
Minimum of 3 days a week.
Right.
For everybody.
What about the gunmetal break desks for everybody?
That's probably not going to happen.
Commissioner Bailey moved and Apostola seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All
opposed? I think Edwin had a question.
So Jimmy did give a copy of this that he proposed.
Yeah, yeah.
This was just kind of impossible to read. So I don't. I know that Nydia copies what she gets, but somehow we need to be taking a look at this to make sure that it's readable once it gets in the book.
I would add on to that, because I kind of struggle at times. I just would suggest you all think about the audience who's got to read this. I would think about larger print, even if it means more pages. It's just a lot of material. 20, 30 years ago, this would have been easy. But if you look at your audience...
I'm there too.
Sir, I'm unable to read the print that small as well, no. And I apologize for that. We'll go back to the ledger size 11 by 17s if we have larger breakout spreads like that. But just to clarify, that spreadsheet is for my next item. That spreadsheet regards the bids received for the Georgian Manor renovation, which I'm about to present.
Yeah, this is a struggle.
Yeah, there were some. Yeah. That were kind of small on the PMA.
Yeah.
On the PMA proposal, so
yeah,
understood.
You just look at this and you just
right. Understood.
That's, no, yeah.
Let me hear you.
No criticism. Nope. Just a note.
Large print Reader's Digest.
Thank you, sir. I'm right there with you.
It's been approved, right? Yeah. Item number 14 has been approved, and we take note of the need to larger print. Commissioner Carrington, have a wonderful trip.
Thank you.
All right, Commissioners, going back to item number 3, which is resolution number 2855, approving a contract of Verde Global Corporation for exterior renovation and painting for pathways at Georgian Manor Apartments. Mr. Teasdale.
Thank you, Commissioners and staff and guests. 2855 does regard ongoing improvements to the PBRA properties in HACA's LIH portfolio, the low-income housing portfolio. And this time we'll come to Georgian Manor Apartments and do our standard exterior renovation, which includes repair of existing rotted woods and repairs of rusting metals and things like that as well. Siding, wood, masonry repairs, some gutter replacements as well on all 41 buildings of the site. We did, of course, advertise properly and received 31 project manuals were distributed and 7 bid proposals were turned in. We have done all reference verifications, and the most responsive and responsible bid was received from Verde Global out of Houston, and we request approval of a contract with that firm at this time in the base bid amount of $150,328.09.
Aye.
All opposed? We'll vote 4-0 with the Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioners.
We'll now go to item number 5, approving Resolution number 2857, approving the purchase and replacement of 5 heavy duty trucks for property maintenance. I want to thank the board for your giving us approval to purchase. About $400,000 worth of cars. We purchased 13 cars, and they've made a huge difference to our inspection crew and to others who need to get around to do work here in the city. Most of our cars were purchased, you know, in 2010, 12, 15, and the safety features have improved, and getting folks in safe cars and, you know, that are well-conditioned is important. Likewise, it's true for our maintenance guys who are dependent on our trucks. And so we, as we shared with you when we asked for permission to purchase more cars, we also have an outdated fleet of trucks. The trucks date from 2010 and 2012. And to kick us off, we wanted to go, and there's really 2 types of trucks we need. We need a very heavy-duty truck, which can meet a lot of carrying need and will wear over the long term well. And then we need a lighter-duty truck. Which we'll be bringing to the board at a later point. But we did have an urgent need for trucks, as we had a couple of trucks go out of commission. So I authorized the board to go ahead and I authorized using my authority, the purchase of some trucks. I'm asking you all to ratify that decision, which was $318,000 to purchase five heavy-duty trucks from Chuck Nash GMC. We were, again, feeling some real challenges, and but we got a, I think, a strong deal. Mr. Teasdale and Mr. Roth were heavily involved with trying to identify the best vehicles, as was Nora Velasco and Sylvia, and we feel like these will serve us, you know, again, for the next 10 years. It's a 10-year truck. We still have not made a decision on what light truck we'll recommend to the board, but we'll come back to you all before we purchase those trucks to get your permission for those. But we would ask for your ratification and approval of this item, again, $318,000 plus for five heavy-duty trucks. Apostola moves, Commissioner Bailey seconds. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And the ayes have it, again, 4-0. Carrington absent. We're going to return to item number six, which is Barbara Chen's item, which is a presentation, discussion, and action on Resolution 2853. This would amend HACA's investment policy to extend the term of any investment product we choose to use from 2 years to a period of up to 5 years. Barbara's going to give a little more detail, but I would just say kudos to our CFO for, you know, we have three big money-making programs here. We only had two before Barbara got here. Southwest Housing Compliance Corporation generates revenue for this agency, a huge amount of revenue for the agency. Austin Affordable Housing Corporation generates a huge amount of revenue for the agency. Some other programs generate a little here and there, but not to the degree that those other two programs do. Barbara, in our finance operation, has produced a third program using investment vehicles with our reserve dollars to go and be able to take, again, the power of investment to safely investing. To help us to bring more dollars into the agency to support critical missions. So, Barbara, would you, and the board has directed that those investments be safe, that the money be able to be easily retrievable. We may lose out on the interest, but that they be easily retrievable, and that in the original investment policy, that no product could be have a term of longer than 2 years. But Barbara's got a good business case for us for asking for that extension. So, Barbara, I'll turn it to you. And congrats again. Thank you for what you've done. Really.
I'm just doing my job. Good afternoon, Chair, Commissioners, and staff. Like Mr. Gerber said, that we are here to present the Resolution 2853 to approve to amend our investment policy. The main change is just to extend, ask your approval to extend the any investment products from 2 years to 5 years. The strategy is because we are anticipating the interest rate is going to decrease a little bit. It's going to help with our development, but it's going to hurt our investment. So that's why we want to kind of be more, explore more opportunity, be a little bit more flexible and change our strategy to lock in more fixed income products. So right now we pretty much invest in our fund in the short term market, treasury bills, those type of things. That's kind of an investment, but we are going to go into more kind of bonds, those type, and based on the HUD regulation and the state of Texas regulation allowed. So basically just ask the flexibility, just if there's any opportunity over our layers so we can grab it. So we are exploring. I'm working very closely with our advisor, and I'm also kind of reviewing the Texas state since we are in Texas. And I think based on what I see that Texas is also a financial strong. The state's pretty financially strong. So we are going to try to explore any kind of investment products available. And if you have any questions, the only change compared to the one back in the you approved back in October 2021, just and for the extend the terms from 2 years to 5 years. Nothing else changed.
Barbara's got a great team around her. She's working closely within her own staff. She's getting, we've got strong partners at JP Morgan Chase. Ron is helping to guide some of it. Sylvia and I have been jumping in as well. And we're again, being very, very safe and cautious, making sure we can always access those resources if we need them. Again, we may lose out on the interest, but we can get the principal back. And also, looking at things that are fully federally insured. So nothing, we're not operating ahead, looking to invest in hedge funds or any of that kind of stuff. Nothing crazy, but again, leveraging, using those resources.
Yeah, I think I'm working with one big change for us is that I was kind of working a little bit more closer with all the whole team that was in the North, Sylvia, with Anne, with Ron and Susan, especially if they have any need for their investment. So we're working on you are going to see it in October. We are also working with the property PBIA if they have any kind of large capital improvement money. So we just need to kind of monitor our cash flow a little bit more closer and plan it out. And it's workable, it's feasible, it's not impossible. And we always very conservative. We are ensured that the liquidation and the cash flow, we should not have any problem. So we work very closely together, the whole team.
We would ask for your approval of resolution 2853. Apostolo moves to approve, seconded by Bailey. Any further discussion? Meaning our ability to continue to do investments. So you want to talk about that in a year? See how the program is going.
Talk about it now. Let me think about it a little bit. But we can go ahead and go forward with what we've done.
And I think the premise of your question is a good one because we should come back to you all, perhaps even in an executive session, and talk to you a bit more about. Yeah, the safe investments that Barbara's doing, and you can see the progress that's made, and feel more and get a little more comfortable with it. But we should. I've been trying to be a little more intentional. Having Barbara's been reporting out to you all like she did today. We want you all to understand where the money's coming from, where it's going. The key thing here is that we're sitting on, a chunk of change. Some of that's getting ready to go out. We're going to use it for Santa Rita. We're going to use it for Rosewood. We're going to use it for Santa Rita. And we're going to use it for the redevelopment of this building. But while we're sitting on it, it gives us an opportunity to earn interest. But we should come back and talk to you.
I understand.
Yeah.
Where is it now?
It's in the bank. Or in CDs and other.
No, pretty much 90% of our investment is in treasury bill. It's guaranteed by federal government. So.
Right. Right. Okay. It's all T-bills.
That's also another why I asked a little bit longer, because we can go to the federal home loan. That's also guaranteed by federal government. We can go to the Texas state. Anything we're looking, the investment policies at least, A standard. We are looking for more like at least AA standards, so the investment. But that is just because we know the interest rate is going to come down, and we want to have a secure, stable, and we want to kind of try to maintain our current return, investment return level. So we are going to shift a little bit, but shifting that a little bit is going to be more like bonds, those long-term fixed income things. And that's it. Lock in the current higher interest rate, basically.
Yeah.
So Apostolo moved and Bailey seconded. All in favor, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And the ayes have it. That was the last item. Commissioners, there's no need for an executive session.
Did we take up 7, 8, and 9, and 10?
We did. We did. We'll knock those out real quick. Wanted to report three quick things to y'all. One, I will provide this nifty telephone, old telephone book size thing for you. You want to pass it over to Chuck? So this is produced by the National Low Income Housing Coalition, one of the leading groups in the country representing the interests of low-income people. They produce an advocate's guide every year, and it has a pretty good list of programs and services, and even some of us old hands have, you know, used this because they've got some good policy thinkers who are looking at different programs and changes. And so I thought you all might have an interest in having sort of a ready reference guide, you know, for you. We've never been able to really provide you with one, but sometimes you all ask where the, you know, where the acronyms come from or what the programs are. This will hopefully give you a little bit of a better look at it. It's written by policy people, but it's intended to be used by advocates. So it's intended to be used by people like us, average people who are, you know, well, I mean, we're all above average, but you know, normal people who are you know, trying to understand, mostly normal people who are trying to understand the programs and, you know, but aren't at that, you know, they're not, it's not intended to be, you know, understood by just a lawyer. It's intended for people to be able to advocate. And you'll also see a list of changes in there that the coalition is proposing, which oftentimes are not dissimilar to what NARO is providing as well. So it's a really useful guide. It's not an exact fit, but it's close enough. And I think for some of your work, you might find it to be interesting. A couple of other quick things. So we've got you that guide. I'd like you all to put on your calendar October 4th at 10 a.m. That is a Friday, and we are going to finally do the grand opening of Chalmers, the whole thing. So we're looking forward to a big celebration, and that will wrap up all of our activities at Chalmers Courts, 8 years in the making. And so we hope you will join us for that celebration. I have no idea which political leaders will be there, but I'm sure it will be a who's who. And it is also a day off from school, and so we have invited the entire staff. We've invited all of our residents, and you know, my belief is that there will be many, many hundreds of people plus there. So we really are hoping that all of our commissioners will be there. And so I appreciate you all marking that. I would say probably plan, you know, 9:30 a.m. To probably at least, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock, because we'd like to ask you all to help us host some of those political leaders as well. So get excited, more details to come on that, but we'll be doing that with our friends at Carleton Companies. I wanted to identify two quick things. Ron Kowal and I have been talking a bit about a bond rating for the Housing Authority, and Barbara's been part of that discussion as well. Some housing authorities are, you know, going out and finding that that will help them to get better. One, it assures it's a deep dive into the finances and the operations of the agency, but it also gives an assurance to the market that this is a very credit-worthy organization. Not many housing authorities have it, and none of the housing finance partners here in Central Texas have it. We think it's a real added, you know, thing for us. We're estimating that the cost of it will be less than $100,000, so it falls within our procurement, that I can go ahead and approve that. But I wanted to get your sense, and I wanted to just advise you that my intent is to proceed with that. It probably is a few months worth of work, if not a little bit longer, you know, 6 months to get. Is that about right, Ron?
Yeah.
Maybe a little quicker. Maybe a little quicker, maybe a little longer, maybe a little shorter. But unless you all had any major objections, I wanted to advise you that it's my intent to proceed with us securing a bond rating.
I'm going to have some questions, but based on what you explained,
and I think actually it'll help you. Hopefully, it'll help y'all. It'll give you the assurance that we're as good as we say we are, yeah, by having another group of folks come in, and they look back 3 to 5 years. 5 years. They look back 5 years. They'll look back through. All of our finances, they'll be working intensively with Barbara and with Ron, and so I think you'll all find it an interesting process as well. But if there's no objections, then I wanted to just sort of advise you of that. Tyra, are you okay with that? Commissioner Duncan Hall?
What? I did not hear you.
Great. I said that we're gonna pursue a bond rating for our agency, and I'll give you some details in a separate conversation.
Okay.
Last thing I wanted to share was at Southwest Norro. Actually two things I wanted to share, and then that really will be it. We are a Norro agency through and through, and one of the things that Norro and Tyra, you or Commissioner Duncan Hall, you'll want to listen here, hopefully you can hear. We're a Norro agency through and through, and professional development is an important part, increasingly, of the work of, you know, certainly it's been a long time thing for staff. We get certifications and all. I just completed my certified management executive certification. There's been other certifications, but there is a commissioner certification, and I would like to propose and ask you all just to think about that between now and the end of 2025, and we can bring folks in to do it to make it easy. We would like to set the policy of this agency that all of our commissioners are certified. I think that's a great it's a great statement that this role is a serious one. You take your oversight and policy responsibilities seriously, and you will go through the curriculum. And it's not a lengthy thing. It's ethics, and it's a day-ish worth of training that we can bring in so that we can do it here. We can afford to bring folks here and do that training. You can also go to Norro to the different conferences and get that training. But we think that would be a value-added thing that we'd like to encourage over the next year and a half. So we don't have to make a decision on it today, but I wanted to put that out for your consideration as something we've been thinking about, you know, as a staff as well. And of course, Commissioner Ritchie literally wrote the curriculum. And I don't know if you have any thoughts you'd want to share, but you're certified.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the handbook, but the certification requires you to take a couple of courses.
Yes.
And they're not bad. I think different folks have you've taken, I think, a class or two, Commissioner Upstall, haven't you? And I know others have as well. And, you know, the intent of NARO's professional development work is also they want people to succeed. You know, there is a test. There is some rigor to it, but the trainings are all designed to, we want people to succeed. Yeah. See, you don't do CLE? You don't have to do any? Yeah, that's true.
That's the great thing about it. They're trying to get certified to be a specialist.
We'll come back and chat. So I was just laying it out there. That's why I said we'll keep the discussion going. Last thing I wanted to report on was Southwest NARO recently had its conference. During that conference, you know, HACA submitted for a number of different awards, and we received a number, which is great. But one of the most important awards we received was for one of our commissioners was selected as Commissioner of the Year, and we're really excited about that. You know, there was stiff competition. We have very engaged commissioners who really care very deeply, and this was not just Texas, but it was Louisiana and Arkansas and Mississippi and Oklahoma. I mean, there's the whole region, Southwest region, and it goes all the way to Missouri. So we were really excited that Commissioner Apostolo was selected as Commissioner of the Year for Southwest NARO, and we want to present this to you.
That was just Texas. This is
all these states here. Oh, my God. Wow.
Now we're going national, Mary.
Okay, now I'm going to get certified. Yeah.
Good.
Now
good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioners, that's all I've got.
All right. Well, with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion made by Commissioner Bailey, seconded by Commissioner Apostolo. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Hearing none, the motion passes. We are adjourned at 3:17 p.m. on Thursday, August 15th, 2024. Thank you.
Thanks. Commissioners, why don't we get a picture with Mary over here by the flag? Yeah.